مبلغ for you, it's my prayer. Oh, مبلغ for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success, share success.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله. Viewers of Money Challenge, we begin by giving you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. It is narrated that after the death of Sayyidina Sheikh Ahmad bin Masur, rahmatullahi ta'ala, someone saw him in a dream, and in his dream he was wearing a heavenly robe with a pearl crown on his head, and he was standing in the mihrab of the masjid in Shiraz. The dreamer asked him that how did Allah azza wa jal treat you? He replied that Allah azza wa jal has forgiven me, conferred respect upon me, honored me with his pearl crown, and made me enter paradise. Allahu Akbar. The person who was dreaming, he further asked, but what is this reward for? Why are you getting such a great reward? And Sheikh Ahmad bin Masur, rahmatullahi ta'ala, answered that I used to invoke salatu salam upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam abundantly, and it is this deed which has benefited me. Allahu Akbar. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of the channel, we need to make a habit of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and reciting these salutations. And one of the reasons that every program, we try and give you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak is then you realize the benefits of it. You become habitual in sending Durood-e Pak, and also you pass this on to others so others can benefit as well. Viewers of Money Channel, it stated that Sheikh Abdullah Shafi, rahmatullahi ta'ala, stated that once he was going towards a village from Basra, and in the afternoon, all of a sudden, a robber attacked them. And the robber, the dacoit, he martyred his companion that was with him. And what he did to Sheikh Abdullah Shafi, rahmatullahi ta'ala, he tied him up and he left him on the ground and he disappeared. Now, Sheikh Abdullah Shafi, rahmatullahi ta'ala, he was able to untie the rope that was on him and he got away from that. But then he started to travel, but he got lost. And as sunset appeared, he was dying of thirst and he was getting very, very hungry. And he saw that there was a hut with a light on it. So there was fire coming from the hut. So he realized somebody was there. And when he went close to the hut, he cried out that I'm thirsty. Can somebody help me? But unfortunately, what happened was that same robber, that same dacoit who had murdered his companion, he was in there as well and he came out. And as soon as he saw him, he grabbed hold of his sword and he came towards him. But the robber's wife was also there as well. And the robber's wife tried to stop this from happening. But what happened to the robber, what he did is he grabbed hold of Sheikh Abdullah Shafi rahmatullah ta'ala, and he took him into the bushes, into the forest. And the plan was there that he was going to kill him with his sword. And at that point where the robber, the dacoit, sat on the chest of Sheikh Abdullah Shafi rahmatullah ta'ala, and was just about to kill him with the sword, a lion all of a sudden appeared, and the lion attacked the robber, and he was injured by the robber, and the robber disappeared, and Sheikh Abdullah Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala was relieved. He recovered from the situation. Now Sheikh Abdullah Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala, he thanked Allah azza wa jal for this divine intervention. Viewers of the channel, this is just one example of the consequences of being cruel. In this particular case, this robber, this dacoit, whatever you want to call him, he was cruel to Sheikh Abdullah Shafi rahmatullah. Then he attacked him, he martyred his companion, he also tied him up, and then he tried to kill him as well. It is stated in Sahih Bukhari that Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari, the Allah ta'ala has narrated that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that verily Allah azza wa jal gives respite to the cruel until he grabs him. Then he does not release him. And after saying this, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the verse of 102 of Surah Hud, and I'll give you the translation from Kanzul Iman. And such is the seizing of your Lord when he seizes the towns upon the injustice. Indeed, his seizing is painful and severe. Viewers of the channel, those that are watching or listening or probably not even listening now, and I hope that this message gets to them. Those of you that are could be classed as terrorists, dacoits, murderers, criminals, should pay heed to this incident that I've mentioned. They should not forget about the consequences of the doings. Whenever divine torment grabs such a people, they suffer a terrible death, and there is none to mourn for them. Above all, they would be in tormenting punishment in the hereafter. Here we just told about the punishment that that person had when he was attacked and he was mauled by a lion. But what about the punishment in the grave? What about the punishment in the hereafter that these people will take on? Here in this dunya, you think, oh, I'm getting away with it. Nothing's happened to me. I'm okay. And so I can get away with these things. And what you don't realize is you're constantly running away. But sooner or later, as we heard in the ayat of the Quran, that Allah Azza wa Jalla will eventually grab you. He'll give you a certain amount of freedom, but then eventually He will grab you. And then the torment will be severe. With regards to cruelty generally, in Sharia, it is stated that cruelty means to do injustice with someone's rights, or to misuse something, or to penalize one who has not committed the offense. So all of these in a Sharia term are all classed as being cruel. So again, it's such a vast topic that whole series of programs can be done on this. And today we're going to very, very briefly just bring some of the incidents so that we can understand briefly what this topic is about. That dacoit that we just mentioned, he used to kill people, innocent people, and he used to commit theft and robbery. He got the punishment in this worldly life where he was attacked and killed by that lion. But just think about the punishment he would achieve, he would get in that dark and lonely grave. Just think about the punishment that he would get on the day of judgment. And even today we see people that are thieves and robbers, and they don't hesitate. Unfortunately, they don't hesitate in taking the lives of people. And remember, killing an innocent person is such a terrible sin. And unfortunately today, we do it without even thinking. Sayyidina Muhammad bin Isa Tirmizi, Ramatullah, stated in his famous collection of hadith, Ayat Tirmizi Sharif, that is narrated from Sayyidina Abu Sayyid Khudri and Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, that if all those in the skies and on the earth would accomplish in killing a Muslim, Allah Azza wa Jalla would make them all fall headlong into the hellfire. Views of Malik Shaw. Not only taking people's lives, not only attacking people and causing physical harm to them, but what about those people who swindle money out of poor people unlawfully, those who commit burglary, those who demand money by sending threatening letters, should pay heed. Today, the valuables that you have grabbed, the wealth that you have grabbed, you know, it may seem easy that I got it without any hard work. The haram money that you've earned, the haram money that you've robbed, the haram money that you swindled, and when we're talking about swindling, it can be anything, can it? It can be credit card fraud, it can be insurance fraud, it can be benefits fraud, all of this swindling, this illegal money that you've got. And unfortunately nowadays we see people to the extent that they'll commit so many sins in making these illegal claims. You know, they'll even separate from the wives, separate from the home and live in a different place and said, oh, we've got a separation and so I want separate benefits. You're lying. You're lying to these people so that you can get extra benefits. And all of this money that you are getting through illegal means is haram for you. It is stated that Sayyidina Lais Samarkandi Ramatullah has reported that verily there are shackles of fire on the bridge of Sirat. The one who takes even a dirham, even one dirham through an unfair means, his feet will be tied with shackles of fire. These shackles will cause difficulty for him to cross the bridge of Sirat. Until the owner of that dirham does not take compensation for it from his good deeds. And if he runs out of good deeds, he will have to carry the burden of the sins of the owner. And as a result, he will fall into the hellfire. And then we hear about the bridge of Sirat, that how hard it is to cross, that it's finer than sharper than the sharpest sword, finer than the finest hair. And imagine that under that situation, you've got shackles of fire on your feet. How difficult will it be to cross? And why have you got these shackles? Because you have unlawfully taken away from something. And we hear in there that as a result of that, or as a result of being unlawful with people, taking the wealth away from them, then your good deeds will also be taken away from you. Your good deeds will be taken away from you, and ultimately what will happen? The sins of other people will also be on your burden. Sayyidina Muslim bin Hajjaj Kushari Ramatullah ta'ala reported in his famous hadith book, Sahih Muslim, he said that the beloved and blessed Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the companions, do you know who is penniless? Do you know who's penniless, who basically has nothing? The companions replied, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, penniless is the one amongst us who does not have any dirhams and other assets, which is what The answer I would have given, that you have no money, you have no assets, so you are the one who is penniless. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, in my ummah, penniless is the one who will be having salah, fast, and zakah. But on the day of judgment, would have abused and slandered someone, swindled someone out of money, killed someone, beaten someone. So from his good deeds, some would be given to one victim and some to the other. And if before the compensation of his rights that he had trampled, all his good deeds are depleted, the wrongdoings of the victims will be transferred into his account of that wasteful person. And then that person will be thrown into the hellfire. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Money Channel, those of us who I pray, we offer our salah, we offer half fast. If we are blessed, we perform our hajj, we pay our zakah properly. And we give money in charity as well. Those of us who try to live a pious life, but if we, as a result of observing other people's rights, swindling people, taking people, things away from them, is as a result of all of them sins that we have committed. If our good deeds are taken away from us, if that salah is taken away from you, if that fasting is taken away from that hajj that you saved up many, many years and you struggled to go over there and you found it hard, if that is taken away from you, for what? A little bit of worldly benefit? A little bit of money that you've got on it, a few lines that you wrote on an application form so you could get a fraud done, an insurance fraud, a credit card fraud, a benefit fraud, because of them few lines that hajj is taken away from you, that you saved all your life to go on, that you look so forward to going, that you thought, I'll go there and I'll get all of my sins forgiven when I go there, I'll do dua in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, and as a result of your actions, that is taken away from you. Every year, meticulously, you fast in the month of Ramadan. That is taken away from you. Every year you perform the Tarawih prayers, you read the Quran, you give the zakat, that is taken away from you. Then what is that wealth that you have taken off people? What is the benefit of that money when all of these good deeds are taken away from you? Your hajj, your zakat, your fasting, your salah, your giving money in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla is all taken away from you. For what? For a few pennies. To make you happy, to make you think that you've been clever, to make you think that you've done somebody over, that you're cleverer than someone, that, oh, I can get this, I can do this, I can do this, I've swindled them. And you think you're being clever. Yes, you maybe are cleverer than the person that you swindled. Maybe you are cleverer than the person that you've done this to. But you're not cleverer than Allah Azza wa Jalla. And on the day of judgment, you will face it. And all of these things that I've mentioned so far, that all of these things will be taken away from you. Then ask yourself, is it really worth it? Is it really worth it? You know, there's a saying in English, short-term gain, long-term pain. You've had that short-term gain, you've had that money, you've had a bit of, you've enjoyed yourself, you've got yourself some nice clothes, a nice car, you've got a nice house. But long-term pain. Long-term pain in that dark and lonely grave. Long-term pain on the day of judgment. Long-term pain in the hellfire. It is stated in Sahih Muslim that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reported, you people will have to restore the rights to the sufferers. Even the horned goat will be avenged for the hornless goat. It means that if you do not fulfill the rights of the people in this world, then you will have to restore the rights to them on the day of judgment. In the worldly life with money and in the afterlife with your good deeds. Therefore, it is wise to respect the rights in this worldly life in order to escape the sufferings in the afterlife. Viewers of the channel, we've mentioned it before. But if you were to gather all of the illnesses and afflictions and the pain that people around the world are suffering right now, all the pains, afflictions, suffering, illnesses that everybody is suffering, and put that in one person, put that inside one person, that would be nothing in comparison to the lightest punishment in the hellfire. Are you ready to face that punishment? Because you swindled a few pound out of someone, because you thought you were clever, yeah, and you cheated somebody out of money. You cheated someone out of land. You cheated someone out of property. You cheated someone out of inheritance. Is it really worth it? Can you withstand that on the day of judgment? And that, my viewers of Money Channel, is the lightest punishment. Our intellect cannot even comprehend the kind of punishments we will face in the hellfire. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that we are relieved from them punishments. And if you look at the pious people of the past, that they would take so much care in ensuring that they didn't observe anybody's rights, even if it was something minor, even if it was something that me and you would think very little about. It is stated that Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adam, rahmatullahi ta'ala, he found an apple in a water course. There was a stream inside the orchard, and he picked it up and he consumed it. He ate the apple. As soon as he ate it, he felt extreme regret for what he had done. I.e. he had ate this apple without the permission of the owner, even though the apple had fallen into the stream, it was still inside the orchard, it could have gone anywhere, but still, it was still the ownership of the orchard, of the person of the orchard. So he proceeded towards the orchard in search of the owner. A lady was the owner of the orchard, and he apologized for the act. And the lady said, "The king and I are both our stakeholders in the orchard. I accept your apology regarding my right, but I do not have the authority to forgive you on behalf of the king. And the king is away in bulk." So Ibrahim bin Adam, rahmatullah ta'ala, set out for bulk, and he ultimately succeeded in seeking consent from the king. How many of us would do that? Yeah, we pick up something, we eat it, we don't care. We see some money lying on the ground, in our pockets, we don't care. And when we're looking around, we're not looking around for the owner, we're looking around to make sure nobody's seeing us picking it up off the ground. Whereas what we should be doing is we should be looking around for the owner. And what we should be doing is we should be picking it up and put it somewhere safe, there, close by, so that when the owner comes by, he can find it. It's not yours. Be it a £10 note, be it a pen, be it whatever it is, be it a mobile phone. How many people find mobile phones, especially if I'm talking to our brothers that are taxi drivers now? You find mobile phones in your car. What do? Do you even try to find the owner of that mobile phone? You think, brilliant, I'll just get it unlocked and I'll sell it. I've made a quick killing here. Have you really? Think about, you've taken off that person, it's still your responsibility to find the owner, and you don't have a right to pick that up. Even though it's in your car, you should try your best to return it. Allah Akbar. There are numerous morals in that story that I mentioned. For those who usurp the possession of others and pocket goods from the shops without payment. You see that, I remember once I was in a shop, and there was a person there, and whenever he would go into the shop, you know, it's one of these Asian shops, and at the back of the shop they were serving meat, and what he was doing, he would come into the shop, and as he was going past the dry fruit, he would pick up some almonds, pick them up, put them in his pocket, and be eating them one by one, without the permission of the owner of the shop. And the owner of the shop, out of respect, he kept quiet, even though he saw it happening. But one day, the owner of the shop, he lost it. He said, this has gone on too much. Every day, he picks up an handful without permission from the shop owner. So it's effectively stealing. And he's doing it blatantly. He picks it up. It might be, in my mind, in your mind, it might be only a few almonds. But one day, the owner of the shop, he grabbed hold of his hand when he had them. And he took his hand to the till and he said, "Now open your hand." And he opened his hand and he put it on the weigh machine. He said, "Okay, that's how much you pay when you come back for the other goods." And from that day on, he never did it. He got angry, but he never did it. But how many of us pick things up from stalls and think, "Oh, I'll just try this." Even when you're at a fruit stall, for example, you're at a fruit stall and they're selling grapes, you need to ask the permission, "Can I try one of these grapes?" If they give you permission, oh well and good. If they don't, then you don't have permission to try the sweetness of the grape. If you don't want to buy it, don't buy it. But don't without thinking, "Oh, I'll pick up a bunch here, you have your, no. That's wrong views on the channel. Allahu Akbar. It is stated that a famous Tabi saint, Sayyidina Wahab bin Munaba, rahmatullahi ta'ala, said that an Israeli repented for all of his previous sins. Then he worshipped for 70 years constantly in such a way that he would fast in the day and he would keep vigil in the night for worship. He would not eat delicious food, nor would he take rest under any shade. After his death, someone saw him in a dream and asked him, "How did Allah Azza wa Jal treat you?" He replied that Allah Azza wa Jal held me accountable for my deeds, forgave all of my sins, but due to a piece of wood, a small toothpick that I used to pick my teeth without his owner's permission and could not ask him to forgive my mistake. Therefore, I've been prevented for paradise due to the violation of human rights. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Many instances happen like this. There are many incidents where people have eaten grains, and the example I give you where people have eaten almonds, people have used other people's goods without their permission, people have used pens and used all sorts of things without their permission. And again, you need to be very careful on this. I just want to relate a personal event that happened to me with regards to making sure that you do not violate the rights of others and you do not violate the rights of the things that are in front of you. For example, the incident that happened with me was many, many years ago. Basically, viewers on the channel, you all know Nigrani Shuna Haji Imran Atari, may Allah Azza wa Jalla keep his shadow upon us. It was basically my first meeting of him, and he called me to his office, and I went to his office, and I had a Madani pad, I had a little pad here. And I took the pad out, and because he was asking me some questions, and I said, well, I don't know the answers, but I'll write them down and I'll get back to you. But I didn't have a pen. So there was a pen on his table and I picked it up. I said, can I use this pen? He said, yeah, I asked permission. So it was okay. So I asked permission, used the pen. Made the notes, and when effectively the meeting was over, I put the pad in my pocket and I put the pen in my pocket as well. And I came out of the room and I went to see somebody else. And then all of a sudden I realized, oh, this pen, it's Nigrani Shura's pen. So they said, well, we'll phone him up and ask him if you can keep the pen, you know, because you didn't ask his permission. So we need to ask his permission. I said, okay, fair enough. They phoned him up and he said, no, he can't keep the pen. He has to bring it back. So I look at the pen and I'm thinking, what's so special about this pen? You know, it's probably worth about 5 pence, 8 pence, 10 pence, if that. And all the way there, I'm looking at this pen, like, what is this pen? And I thought, you know what, maybe he was gifted this pen from someone, you know, maybe because of that, he doesn't want me to have the pen. So I went back there, gave him the pen, and he smiled. And he said to me that, you're probably thinking, why have I asked for this pen? And I went quiet, and eventually I nodded. He said, the reason is this pen is not mine to give you. This is owned by the masjid for masjid work, and I cannot give it you. And that incident took place maybe, I don't know, 20 years ago, but it made me think, viewers of the channel, that how many times that we go into the masjid and use things that are nothing to do with why we are there. And we pick up things and take them home. We take the topis home. We take chappal home. People take these things. Again, this is wrong, viewers on the channel, and we need to learn and change ourselves with regards to this. People nowadays, they swindle thousands or even millions of money out of other people in the name of debt. They'll take money from people. And when they take money from them, they return it very, very hard. It takes very hard to return them. I remember meeting one person, and he said that, you know, because I said to him, look, you keep on taking all this money on debt. Are you not worried? And so openly, he said to me, why should I be worried? The person who should be worried is the person I've taken the money off. When am I going to give him the money back? And I thought, that's wrong. That's wrong. And our deen teaches us never to do that. That if we take money off them, and you know, we should not put any burden on them. We should make sure that we return the money in the time that we've allocated to them. If I take £1,000 off you and I say, look, I'll give it you on Friday. And for whatever reason, something happens and I cannot return it on Friday, then I should come to you and I say, look, brother, I need an extension. And if you refuse, then I should find that money, I should go and borrow that money from somebody else and give it to you. If he agrees, then all well and good, but I shouldn't return that money. And the other thing that happens is we'll borrow £1,000 and we'll give them back £5 at a time. Again, this is wrong. This is wrong, you're breaking that money. And our deen teaches us that this is usurping the rights of people. And as a result of this, causing grief to people, what happens is when we want money of people, we're very friendly. You know, we'll take them out for a meal. Come on, let's go for a cup of tea. Let's go and have something to eat. How are you? Yeah, yeah. I'm all right. Just struggling a little bit. I could do with a bit of money if you're my business, but I'm okay, all right. And slowly, 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 you'll be nice to them. You'll go to the house. You'll visit them. You'll even bring them gifts for the family and everything like that. But once you've got the money off them that you wanted, you're not to be seen. And they end up looking for you. This, again, is something that we need to be very careful from. It is stated that Sayyidina Imam Muhammad bin Muhammad Ghazali Rahmatullahi Ta'ala has narrated in Kimiya Sadat that the one who takes a debt and intends that he will pay it back honestly, Allah Azza wa Jalla appoints some angels for his security and they supplicate for his debt to be paid back. And if the one who has taken a debt is capable to pay it, and he delays the payment without the creditor's consent, then delaying it even for a moment is a sin, and the borrower will be considered cruel and oppressive. Whether he is observing fast or sleeping, sins will be continuously be recorded in his account, meaning his sins will keep increasing, and all the time he will be continuously under the curse of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is such a sin that it remains with the person even when he is asleep. If he can pay off the debts by selling his belongings, he is bound to do so. Otherwise, he will be a sinner. If in the compensation of debt he gives something that the creditor does not like, even then he will be a sinner. And if he would be accused of the crime of this heinous act until the creditor forgives him, because this act is a major sin, people consider it a small misdemeanor. Such a huge sin that when you commit it, you constantly, all day, all night, sleeping, whatever you're doing, that sin is increasing for every moment that you delay in paying that debt, and you will be considered a cruel person, an oppressor, by withholding that money from that person. And nowadays we don't even think twice about it. We borrow money, we forget about it. We forget about the people, the money that we own. And the only time we remember what money we owe people is when they knock on our door and say, "Oh brother, you remember you owe me £500? Do I? When's that? And they'll remind you, "Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay brother, come in, have a cup of tea." Yeah, and you'll kind of talk to him and sweet talk to him and get him out of the house before you have to offer him any money. You should, every person that is watching this, if you are in that situation, and it happens in life, you and some of each other, times come where we need money of people, we need help of people, we need assistance. I'm not going to say borrowing money is haram, but however, if you borrow money of people and you delay the paying back, even for one moment we are told, then this is haram. This is a sin, and that sin continues with you. You know, like normally we talk about the blessed sunnah of the beard, that if you have this on you, then every day, every night, sleeping, drinking, walking, whatever you're doing, you're getting the sawab, the blessings of having this sunnah. In the same way, for every moment that you delay in people paying people money back that you borrowed on them, you'll be cast as cruel, you'll be classed as an oppressor, and the sins will be constantly increasing. You can be sleeping, but your sins are increasing. Allahu Akbar. Can we take all them sins? No, we can't. Can we take the punishments of all the sins? No, we can't. So what we need to do is we need to change ourselves. When we need to change ourselves and make sure that we don't fall into this situation. The violation of human rights, views of Malik Channel, is a very serious situation with regards to the afterlife. Sayyidina Ahmad bin Harb, Ramatullahi Ta'ala, stated, "Many people will die being wealthy with plenty of good deeds. But listen to this. But due to the violation of human rights, they will lose all the deeds on the day of judgment and hence will become poor and needy." Sayyidina Shaykh Abu Talib Muhammad stated, "Mostly people will be thrown into the hellfire due to the sins of others, not due to their own sins." You'll be thrown into the hellfire due to the sins of others, not your own sins. And why is this? Because their sins will be transferred into their account due to the violation of their human rights. Similarly, a great number of people will enter paradise not due to their own good deeds, but upon receiving the good deeds of others. It is apparent that those whose feelings were hurt and their rights were violated in the world will be getting the good deeds of others. So the oppressed and the tortured ones will be benefited on the day of judgment. Imam Ahmad Raza, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, has narrated in Fatawa Razviya, volume 24, page 342, with reference to Tabarani, that the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the one who caused annoyance to a Muslim, where Sharia does not permit it, has caused annoyance to me. And the one who has caused annoyance to me has caused annoyance to Allah Azza wa Jal. And he stated in there that Allah Azza wa Jal stated in part 22 of Surah Al-Azab, verse 57, regarding those who cause annoyance to Allah Azza wa Jal and his beloved Prophet Sallallahu Ta'ala Wasallam, "Indeed, those who offend Allah and his messenger, upon them is Allah's curse in the world and in the hereafter. And Allah has kept prepared a disgraceful punishment for them." Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Madhi Channel, we need to contemplate and think about the situation. If you, you know, one of the, as Muslims, that our aim is that we try to die as Muslims. We want to die with Iman. But one of the things that can take our Iman away from us, one of the things that can lead us to dying without our Iman, is oppressing a fellow Muslim. oppressing a fellow Muslim. And this is such a wide topic as we've heard so far. It is stated that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is not permissible for a Muslim to point at another Muslim with the eyes in such a way that it hurts him. You know, if you point at someone and you've got an angry look in your face and you're pointing at them in anger and it hurts them, this is not permissible. And many of us do this without even thinking. We're showing our strength, we're showing our position, we're showing our wealth by frightening others, oppressing others. Again, this is wrong. This is a sin that you will be carrying on the Day of Judgment. Are you ready to carry that sin? You can make people scared of you now because you go to the gym and you got your six pack and you can carry all these weights and people are scared of you, looking down on people. And they're frightened of you and you can look at them in such a way and they'll walk away. They won't say anything to you. But on the Day of Judgment, are you willing to face all of this? Allahu Akbar. It is stated, viewers of my channel, that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out to tell us about the night of Shab-e Qadr. Allahu Akbar. We are told in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal tells us that that night is better than 1,000 months. The one night's ibadah is better than 1,000 months. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was coming out to tell us that which night is it specifically. But he saw two Muslims were quarreling. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I had come to inform you about Shab-e Qadr, but so and so persons were quarreling, therefore Shab-e Qadr was cancelled. I, it was decided that it would not be revealed. Such a huge blessing was not revealed to the Ummah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam because we were quarreling. Viewers of my channel, all Muslims that are watching, you are the protectors of one another. What has happened to us nowadays? Our beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in brotherhood, kindness and mercy, believers are like one body. So if one organ gets hurt, the whole body should feel the pain. If one of us is in pain, we should all feel the pain. But nowadays we don't care. We don't care about the pain around the world. We don't care what pain we're giving to people. And someone said to me once that it is as if the Muslims have been anesthetized. You know when you go to the dentist and before the dentist touches your teeth, he gives you a big injection. And what does that injection do? It numbs you. After that, it can drill, it can pull your teeth out, it can do anything. And we're in a situation now that the Ummah has been anesthetized that we don't feel the pain. We don't care what's happening to anybody. We don't feel what is happening to our fellow brother. And we don't even care when we inflict pain upon them. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care what's happening around the world. It is stated in Tirmizi Sharif that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't become imitator, O people, saying if people do good, we will also do good. And if the people behave cruelly, we will also conduct cruelty. But settle your nafs, meaning views of many child, that normally what happens, we say, okay, if the brother here, he's nice to me, I'll be nice to him. But if he's aggressive to me, I'll be aggressive to me. If he's not nice to me, I won't be nice to him. That should not be, you should not be a copying, imitating people. You should adopt the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and control your nafs. And even if that person is abusing you, that does not give you a right to abuse them. Again, all of these, we need to control ourselves. These are the wonderful madani pearls that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us regarding our human rights, and we need to be very, very careful about them. It is stated that Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi ta'ala stayed in Syria for some days. There he used to write hadiths. Once his pen stopped working, so he borrowed someone else's pen for the time being, and he forgot to return it. And unintentionally, he carried it to his homeland. When he recalled that the pen did not belong to him, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullah again traveled to Syria from his country just to return that pen. Allahu Akbar. How many of us come home and we see a pen in our pocket? Oh yeah, that's another pen I've collected. You know? Oh, I you see these brothers say, oh, I collect pens. Yeah? I don't know where this pen's come from, I don't know where this is pen, and we collect them. Again, they're not yours. And our saints, these pious predecessors, these stories that we're relating to you, they're there and they've been maintained for a reason so that we can learn a lesson from them, that we realize that we should live our lives according to this as well. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of the channel, as I mentioned early on, that if you oppress a Muslim, there is a risk that you could lose your iman. Is that something that we are willing to do? Is it something that we're willing to risk losing our iman? And also, viewers of the channel, something that we need to be very, very careful about is that it is also necessary to help people that are being oppressed. You know, normally you just turn a blind eye. And again, this is wrong. To oppress people is a violation of human rights. Similarly, not to help the oppressed despite having the ability to do so is also a crime. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala has narrated that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I swear by my honor and magnificence, I will surely avenge the cruel sooner or later, and I will also avenge the one who doesn't help the oppressed despite having the ability to do so. Therefore, we have realized that the one who does not help the oppressed, besides being capable of it, is also a sinner. But one who is not capable to help the oppressed is not a sinner. As Mufti Muhammad Shariful Haq Amjadi has stated, remember, to help a Muslim is sometimes fard, sometimes wajib, and sometimes mustahab, depending upon the condition of the helper. So again, this is something that is our responsibility, that we need to make sure that we help our fellow Muslim brothers, viewers on the channel. Those who misbehave with Muslims, hurt their feelings, mispronounce their names, again this is another thing, taunt them, mock them, and make fun of them, should fear Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal stated in Surah Al-Hujurat, verse number 11, and I'll give you the translation from Qanzul Iman. O people who believe, men must not ridicule other men, for it could be that the ridiculed ones are better than the mockers. Nor must the women ridicule other women, for the ridiculed women may be better than the mockers. And do not insult one another, nor assign evil nicknames. How bad is it to be called a sinner after being a Muslim? And whoever does not repent, then it is only they who are unjust. To laugh at people's poverty, to laugh at people's lineage, to laugh at people's so-called physical imperfections, to laugh at people's lack of education, to laugh at people's cars, to laugh at people's clothes, to laugh at people, to mock them, is also a sin. And you will be cast amongst those people that are oppressing people. So viewers of Million Channel, in today's speech, we heard about cruelty. But cruelty is not a simple statement where we think that being cruel to someone is one specific act. But observing people's rights, swindling, fraud, you know, tricking people, lying to people, violating people's rights, hurting people. Even viewers of the channel, if you attend a gathering, if you attend a feast, you know, you get people that what they do is they look out for weddings and they put nice clothes on and they go to the wedding, and the bride thinks they're from the groom's side, the groom thinks they're from the bride's side, and they're going so they can have a nice meal. Again, you cannot go there. You've observed the rights of that person there. That is also a form of theft. Without permission, you've gone to a gathering and you've ate the food there. So viewers of Million Channel, I want you to reflect. You know, we are fortunate in one sense, viewers of Million Channel, that our hearts are still beating. Whilst our hearts are still beating, we have an opportunity to reflect. We have an opportunity to repent from those sins. We have an opportunity to make a change in your lives. So I implore all our viewers, and Dawah Islami is here to help you do this. Dawah Islami is here to give you them tools to fight shaitan, give you those tools to enable you, to empower you, to rectify yourself, to become aware of the sins of the heart, to become aware of these problems. Because in most cases, we don't even know that we are committing a sin. We don't even know that we're backbiting, gossip, lying. We don't even know that we're doing these things. So we need to educate ourselves. And Dawah Islami is here to help us, to educate us, to help us repent from the sins that we committed, to change our lives, and to help change other lives. And that is the mission statement of Dawah Islami, that I must strive to rectify myself and rectify the people of the whole world, inshallah Azza wa Jal. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal, if I've said anything wrong, may Allah Azza wa Jal forgive me. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal that Allah give me, first and foremost, the ability to think about what I said, to reflect upon what I said, to change myself in any way that is necessary upon what I've said, and also all the viewers to do the same. Ameen bijahin nabil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
For you, smile.